Jamal, welcome to the program. Please do tell me about this scene you witnessed in Los Angeles at the University of Southern California last month.
Well, Clinton, it was 2 days after the NBA All-Star game. And actually back in Chicago, the Bulls are holding their first practice after the break. But DeMar DeRozan is not there. He is back in LA, back at USC, his alma mater. And students are filing in on campus to see DeMar not talk about basketball or play basketball or do anything really, you know, specifically basketball related. It's to launch his new digital YouTube series, Dinners with DeMar, a series that focuses on mental health.
Inspiration to others that it's okay to go through things, to be vulnerable, to break down, be okay with figuring yourself out, speaking to other people, being vulnerable to other people.
Based on your anecdotal view, were most of them students? How many of them looked like you, me, or DeMar?
I would say probably a majority were student athletes or just, you know, at least students of some kind. Definitely a lot of young Black faces in the crowd. But these were people who seemed to all be eagerly filing in and you know, eager to see what the discussion was going to be that day. He leads a panel discussion with two of the student athletes, two basketball players, one from the men's team and one from the women's team from USC. DeMar is very clearly nervous on stage at this point. I mean, this is it's funny because it's for a guy who has taken last second shots, who's played in the NBA for years. He can just tell he's a little bit out of his element. He takes a while to just kind of settle in. But I think once he gets into the conversation with the student athletes, you really kind of see him start to shine and be himself.
You know, I never would have thought I'd be doing something like this, feeling and understanding what depression was, being a student athlete. I wouldn't know what that was or what it looked like, you know, for us to have these conversations and it kind of like break so many barriers. It means a lot, man. It means a lot.
6 years ago, a simple 3 a.m. tweet from DeMar DeRozan inadvertently kicked off a new conversation about mental health in the NBA. And in the years since, he's embraced his role as a mental health advocate.
I went through so much pain and heartache to where at the end of the day, all I care about is making someone day or giving someone the confidence to feel like they can get through whatever it is that they're going through.
Now, DeMar has launched a new web series featuring some of the biggest names in the sport, opening up about their own internal struggles. So today, our Jamal Collier takes us inside DeMar DeRozan's mental health journey and how he's helping players around the league to up their game by elevating and advancing their minds. I'm Clinton Yates. It's Tuesday, March 12th. This is ESPN Daily. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. So, Maul, give us a quick refresher on DeMar DeRozan. Obviously, he went to USC, which is why he was there in this particular case. But what is his background? Give me some of his career highlights. And what should everyone know about who he is as an NBA player?
So, backing all the way up, you know, DeMar is born in Compton, born and raised. He's a Compton kid. He went to Compton High School. And, you know, he's one of those the guys who really right away, You know, when he got to high school, when he goes to college, you could tell athletically he was going to be a star. becomes the face of the Toronto Raptors.
He just took that ball from the opposite foul line, right down the middle of the court, and he goes up strong, two-handed jam dunk, and he gets fouled. That's what an all-star looks like, folks. You're looking into the eyes of an all-star. DeMar DeRozan
makes all-star teams. They're the team that's challenging LeBron in the playoffs in those early to mid-2010s. But they always fall short. The team was always good. He was always in it. But they just never were able to get over that hump. And eventually he's traded to San Antonio in the Kawhi Leonard deal. And, you know, we'll get back to this later. But this is a very just kind of pivotal thing that rocks DeMar to his core. He really has talked about it at different stages of his life. But there was such a shock for him to be traded from Toronto, the place that he thought he was the face of the franchise. And, you know, he goes to San Antonio for a few years. He actually makes some leaps as a player. Nobody's really paying attention because the Spurs weren't really winning anything before he came to Chicago a few years ago. And that first season, it is just a perfect fit, a perfect marriage. He gets some MVP buzz right away. He makes the All-Star team the first 2 years. And the, you remember that first Bulls team, this is when Lonzo Ball is healthy. Zach LaVine, they're having these you know, cross-court passes into dunks. And they're really just a fun show. And DeMar being at the center of it, you know, hitting fourth-quarter game winners, really is what makes that thing go.
Bulls look for the win. DeRozan to win it! Go! DeMar DeRozan delivers!
The team has kind of plateaued over the last couple of years, but DeMar is still doing his thing. He outscored the Kings in the fourth quarter the other night by himself, 19-18. So he's still kind of still putting up his numbers and being a steady player that gives the Bulls a chance to win every night.
Changes of scenery, while sometimes advertised as the best thing for an athlete, can oftentimes be, as you mentioned, very jarring and very shocking. That aside, though, when do you think he started to become aware of his own mental health struggles in life in general, if it weren't for this particular trade?
When you think about DeMar's story, I think one of the things that stands out to me is that he's been through some real shit. Like, this is a man who had an upbringing that he's, you know, been open about how at times difficult it was. I mean, he had family members, friends at a young age that he lost to gang violence. You know, he detailed to me just that he can remember sitting in funerals before he was a teenager of multiple family members, of an uncle, of friends, of talking to people who were behind bars and just hearing the pain in his voice, of hearing his mom crying all night. Those were things that he had to process really at a young age, and even at a time when he was maybe not ready to process those emotions. They come up later in life and come up as he continued his life. And I think, you know, it's one of the I think more remarkable things about his story and his journey that he's gotten there is that despite all those real dramas and things that he saw early on, you know, I mean, he details in the first episode of the YouTube series that, you know, he got jumped for wearing the wrong color, you know, and was then scared to tell his mom why he had been jumped.
When I was 12 years old, I got jumped by six dudes because I had on the wrong color. And I got to walk back to my grandma's house and explain to my mama what just happened. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, do you know what comes with that? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, so I used to find every reason to avoid that.
Just to be able to have gone through those things and come out as really just one of, you know, not, you can't find a person in the NBA that'll say a bad thing about DeMar. He's sort of one of the guys in the league that everybody enjoys being around. It's just sort of a light in the Bulls locker room as well. It's a really just a remarkable journey to think about all the things that he's done.
You know, when people think about what it's like as a Black American growing up in this country and in terms of how it relates to mental health, I think a lot of people have trouble understanding that. What you see and what goes on around you, just the buildup generationally or otherwise of that, it takes a toll. It's not necessarily an acute particular thing. It's not something that necessarily one can put a finger on, but an upbringing is a shared experience that when it affects you individually, is kind of hard to let go of.
Yeah, I mean, just 100% agree. And that's why sending out that tweet at All-Star Weekend in 2018 was such a huge step for him. the All-Star game was in Los Angeles that year. And he talked about just, it was sort of as a combination of events and things of that finally just kind of really overwhelmed him.
I get back, get to LA. I remember just the overwhelming feeling of like, everybody asked me for tickets to the All-Star game. The first day, I was just going crazy.
In LA, his face is on the side of billboards. You know, this really should be a homecoming kind of feeling for him. And instead, it was really just kind of one of his lowest moments. He just talked about just sort of the feeling of being overwhelmed of the time missing his children from being on the road and being away from them. Just feeling a combination, I think, of everything.
And I think it was Friday night. I didn't go out. I was supposed to go out. I remember getting dressed. I laid in the bed. It was like 8 o'clock. And I just didn't move, bro. Like I didn't have no interest to do nothing, be around nobody. Felt so exhausted mentally, emotionally. And I just laid there. And I laid in the room by myself. And in the middle of the night, I tweeted what I tweeted. And I didn't think nothing of it. It was just me being so lost in my emotions at that time, in that moment.
He tweets, at 3 a.m., the depression got the best of me. Said he put his phone away, went to bed, and that was that. Woke up the next morning, and sometimes you have a bad day. You wake up the next day, and you feel all right. He wasn't sort of thinking that it was going to be a message that resonated with everybody.
So I get up the next day, and I was fine. Pick up my phone. It's, oh, my God. What the is this? You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
Like, and it was one of those early mornings where we had to go sign the balls. So everybody coming to me like, yo, what this mean? What is this? You know, you're going to have to say this. You're going this and this. It was a couple guys came up to me and say, you good? Like, everything straight? You know what I mean? I was just like, yeah, I'm good. Well, what's up? Because I'm not thinking of the tweet. You know what I mean? So it turned into me just saying like, man, you know what? This is how I feel.
I think it was a message that really resonated with players. We saw maybe a month after DeMar sent his tweet out the All-Star game. That's when Kevin Love came forward about some of the struggles that he had with anxiety in Cleveland. Right after that, I believe the NBA and the Players Association began to start making some real moves about mental health, sort of like implementing policies and trying to push that. Make sort of league policy and player association policy to address that as a real issue. I talked to Andre Drummond, who's his teammate, DeMar's teammate on the Bulls now, but has known DeMar since they came into the league together, played against each other in high school, goes way back with him. And he sort of recalled really hearing that message from DeMar was the first time that he had heard anybody really bringing it up. And there have been other players. Ron Artest famously thanks his therapist after winning the finals with the Lakers. But for players of his generation, of his time of the league, he was one of the first to talk about it in that way. And the first time they had heard about it in that way. And it really just kind of, they responded to it in a way that I think that he was not ready for or didn't expect.
What was really interesting was to hear DeMar in his own words there on that tape from his show. He's speaking with Draymond Green in that particular clip, but the fallout from that tweet, it was so noticeable because when you mentioned Ron Artest, he was a guy who had a number of incidents, some of them really troubling. DeMar, on the other hand, has never been seen in that kind of light, not remotely. I know I was very surprised to see DeMar put that tweet out. What was your response, DeMar?
And I think it's just that. It's just because DeMar was a quiet person, but also somebody who, like you said, just seemed from the outside to have it all together. To seem to just be, he was really on the peak of his sort of scoring and athletic prime of his career at that point with the Raptors. He's in generally just like a happy guy, especially when he's on the court. You just didn't see the signs or you didn't see the extremes that you saw in the behaviors of other players like Ron Artest. I just remember it felt, just surprising and almost shocking a little bit in that way.
How naturally did DeRozan take to this role in terms of being thrust into the spotlight as the, I'm using air quotes here, mental health advocate, just for speaking up on his own behalf about his own situation regarding sort of the rest of the NBA?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, like, on one hand, it's, as I said before, it's not naturally, like, it's just kind of not natural for him to be the one out in front and sort of sharing about his experiences and leading the conversation in that way, almost in the literal sense of the panel up there at USC. But I think also from the conversation with him, the way he sort of took it, it's not necessarily as this sort of frontman mental health advocate, but you know, I think DeMar does take a whole lot of joy in just passing along joy to people, right? And I've seen him in the locker rooms. You know, he's the first one to sort of crack a joke when the mood is light. He's the first one to shout out a young player when the media's in there and it does something funny or good or whatever it is. He's just the guy to keep the mood light and to try to keep people positive and upbeat. And I think that for him, thinking about it like that and knowing why it's important to sort of keep everybody mentally in a good place on a team level. I think he's approached it like that. And I think that once he saw that people resonated with his message and, you know, took something from it as something, you know, resonated with the rest of the league, that he was, I think, a willing acceptor to say, you know, this is important and I'm willing to have this conversation with people.
My colleague, Tony Reale on Around the Horn says, mental health is health. My point being, it is an ongoing process for everybody. And even though DeMar has been outspoken on this, this guy's got his own life to live. What has he faced since he's decided to put himself out there in terms of how he's worked on his own state of mind and what he's had to go through in life beyond the basketball court since then?
And that's, you know, again, where his journey is still so fascinating because it's taken so many turns even after getting to the league. You know, we talked about being the face of Toronto and he speaks about it on that first episode of his digital series. That trade to San Antonio, like in the most, you know, just like Game of Thronesian read of it, was such a betrayal for him, you know, and in his mind, I think that that still feels that way. Like it came out of nowhere. He thought he was going to be the face of that franchise and be there forever with Toronto and to sort of be traded and then watch that team win a championship without him and have to hear for 3 years that they won a championship because you were not there and all those things. You know, those are things that he talked about just kind of being in basketball wilderness, basically for a few years and kind of struggling to find his way.
Three years of trying to search and find myself from basketball perspective, feeling like, you know, the doubt creeping, questioning yourself, how much longer this going to be.
Mind you, during this time, you know, his father, Frank, who he's very, very close with, is sick and dying, you know, and DeMar in between games in San Antonio is flying to L.A. whenever he can get a chance to just spend the final days or final moments that he can with his dad.
When I buried my dad, same night I had a daughter, mm-hmm. and I go play in a game.
Yep, I remember.
The next day, absolutely. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Nobody had a clue about this. So emotionally, the highs and lows that I was going through was beyond what outside people could ever understand. But if you have a bad game, they wanna trash you for something. They wanna say this. They wanna have all these opinions. They wanna have all this, but you don't know this that I'm carrying, that I'm going through every single day.
Coming up, DeMar brings his introspective approach directly to NBA lightning rod Draymond Green. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Maul, I got to be honest. It wasn't until I read your story that I even became aware of the Dinners with DeMar series that he recently launched. And the first episode was with, of all people, Draymond Green. His own mental health has been a topic of much conversation in our jobs around the country, fairly or not. And, you know, in the wake of the two long suspensions he received this year for on-court incidents, it's been a topic. This particular conversation between DeMar and Draymond was actually recorded long before any of that happened a couple years ago. What struck you, though, about hearing Green reflect upon his mental health in this kind of setting?
Yeah, Clinton, even though this was an interview from, you know, the summer of 2022, it's really, really fascinating to watch Draymond, you know, basically ask DeMar. I mean, he just says in plain terms, help me get to therapy.
I have a question. Help me get to therapy. As someone who's done it, like, help me get there, because I can't get myself there.
Listen, I was the same way. Bro, I was the same way. I was the exact same way.
You know, the Draymond has clearly thought about it, but the actual act of getting there, of going, he's not been able to do.
There's been times where I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to go to therapy. Like, yeah, I'm ready to go. It's the time now. I'm ready to do it. And, like, every time I talk myself out of it, like, oh, nope, I just figured this out. I don't need to go. Like, for me personally, I don't understand how somebody can push themselves to go to therapy.
That was, I think, the highlight of that first episode to me. One of the things that stood out as most listening to it is hearing DeMar and hearing the way DeMar tried to relate to Draymond, why therapy could help him. And ultimately, hear Draymond still be skeptical of it. Even as DeMar is breaking out what I thought was a very, very perfect analogy to relate to a basketball player. I mean, DeMar compares therapy session to a film session.
Let me treat this like it's a film session and really just indulge in it and see what I can find. You know what I mean? Even if it's one thing I could find, like, that's how I really looked at it. Like, let me treat it like a film session. Even though I know what happened in the game, let me see if it's something I could see that could help me that next possession.
This is fascinating to me because, frankly, like so many other things in the Black community, that element of just getting there is almost a bigger hurdle than anything that happens once you arrive. To sort of move off topic, whether it's, frankly, going to the doctor or whatever else it may be, and I mean physical doctors, that point was so strikingly relatable to me that I wonder what you thought about that when you heard it in terms of your own life experience. I don't mean you, but in general, when we look around at folks trying to take care of one another, getting there is often half the battle.
And I thought it was, you know, again, man, just to say, like, this is two famous, prominent Black men talking about having an honest conversation about therapy, having a honest conversation about, you know, almost an outreach to say, help me get there. You know, Draymond just sort of outlines again, like, these are not the things that we were taught growing up. You know, this is, you're taught to push through it, to be hard, that you'll be okay, to keep going, you know, whatever it is. And you know, Draymond talks about his fire being the skill that he plays with on the court.
I worry about it in a sense sometimes of, like, losing my fire, because my fire is a skill. I think my fire that I have and that I play with is, like, an elite skill.
No question.
In the NBA.
Question.
And so,
and it's a lost art.
For me, when I look at things like therapy, I'm like, nah, because that's going to make me channel that or pull back there even more.
He doesn't want to lose that and wants to harness that. And almost the alternative there, where being in touch with your emotions or your feelings or your mental health for so long had the stigma of being soft or being thought of a certain way. And having, you know, DeMar break down. And again, like, you know, DeMar has said before, like, I'm from Compton. Nobody really ever called me soft. That was not a thing that we really mistaked here. But having DeMar being able to be associated with that and try to lift some of the stigma off of it, you know, for another NBA player, for another, you know, Black man, I think was just a fascinating series to watch, man. And it's something that struck me very much that, like, we would not have seen this in that kind of plain terms I don't know, 10, 15 years ago.
We should note that since that conversation, the recorded one in 2022, Draymond's dealt with suspensions that we mentioned, and he did return. He spoke to the public and he said that with that most recent suspension, he indeed had turned to therapy to help him sort through what he was struggling with on the court in terms of his emotions.
Therapy only go as far as you take it. You know, when you sit in a therapy session, therapists probably talk 10, 15% of the time. And you talk the other 85 or 90. So then what are you talking about? One of the best things that happened to me during the process, as soon as I got on the phone for a first initial, he's like, so what's this about? If you're here just to satisfy some obligation, you're wasting my time and yours. And that was the most important thing for me that I could hear, because that wasn't why I was there.
One of the things that fascinates me the most about this is at a time in the league in which we discuss at such length why people miss games, how long they miss games for, the idea of load management being a physical thing, how does the league and its teams view this conversation in terms of their role of letting guys take games off, the mental side perhaps being as important as the physical side? You mentioned that some guys have taken a game off here or there. In your experience and what you've reported on, how has the reaction or even just the exercise of this been for some of these franchises in the league?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think that, you know, on one hand, we're still very recent into the NBA and the Players Association, you know, really taking this seriously as an issue. You know, the Bulls, for example, a team that I'm around, you know, they do have a team therapist on staff. And she's been somebody that Andre Drummond called just his guardian angel so far. I think that while they have also made some real meaningful strides, we also remember just a few years ago, the bubble, and trying to get the bubble in the season after that. And a lot of players sort of talking about in plain terms how they didn't mentally feel all the way ready to be there. But ultimately, when it was about getting these games done and getting the season done, it was a different conversation.
Last thing I'll ask you, that being said, what do you think DeMar's vision is for how the league and athletes in general, forget about just the NBA or basketball players, will continue to move things forward regarding mental health and how teams treat it, how fans treat it, and how ultimately employers treat it?
Yeah, I asked DeMar just about his goals, you know, for this series and in general about how he wants to move the conversation forward. But I think the big thing for DeMar right now is just starting to have that be an open dialogue and a normal conversation that doesn't carry stigmas with it. And I think right now he's happy to put the conversation out there, have the conversation in a sort of public space, and really allow people to take from it whatever it is that they can take from it, you know, whether that helps them get to therapy, whether that helps them help a friend. So I think, you know, for DeMar right now, getting out there, being in this position, this front-facing position to talk about it, you know, is really a step. And it's something that, you know, his friends around the league, Draymond, Damian Lillard, guys that I've talked to, that they were really impressed to see DeMar just be vulnerable in that sense, to say, I've been through some stuff, I needed help, and it's okay.
Thank you for your time with us today, and thank you for your reporting on this, brother. Appreciate you, Jamal.
Anytime, Glenn.
DeMar DeRozan's web series, Dinners with DeMar, is out now on YouTube. You can find a link to episode 1 with Draymond Green in today's episode description. I'm Clinton Yates. This has been ESPN Daily. We'll talk to you tomorrow.